Welcome to the Jesus Impact. We're here tonight with Mike Sparks. Yeah, Mike. Boy, he's just full of enthusiasm tonight. Did you see that enthusiasm in Mike tonight? Say hi with enthusiasm, Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Mike is here tonight with us to do karaoke. Not really. We were just talking today about a few things while you are getting on there. So, anyway, I just want to tell you about Jesus Impact. What we do is we talk to people about how Jesus Christ has impacted their lives and the difference he's made in their lives, personally. And we just get to know people. Last week, we got to know Nick. Nick is actually sitting across from me over there. You can hear his voice, but you can't see him. Say hi, Nick.
Hey.
He sounds real enthusiastic.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Oh, he actually is excited. I think Mike's excited, too. But anyway, so we will talk with Mike, get to know Mike a little bit tonight, get to know how Jesus impacted his life. We just want to get to know a little bit about him first. And there's some interesting things about Mike. Mike has been a good friend of mine for a while now. And let me see. One of the things that has interested me about Mike is he is a Muay Thai enthusiast. He studied Muay Thai. Tell us a little bit about Muay Thai.
Yeah, I used to do that. I don't do it anymore. I got old. But back when I did it, I loved it. It was just a great thing you could do. It's easy on your joints, easy on your body. And it's just it's actually not hard on your body at all. Right? And so I've always had bad knees.
I should screen these people better. Do you know what Muay Thai is? Muay Thai is when you hit people with your elbows and your fist and your knees and your feet. So you're repeatedly getting kicked in the face, hit in the face, elbowed in the face, kneed in the face. That's Muay Thai, to my understanding. It's one of the most brutal sports there is. And he's like, man, I like it because it's easy on me. What in the world did you study before Muay Thai? If Muay Thai is easy on you, what are you, like a Krav Maga guy or something?
It's easy on your joints. So your joints, it doesn't hurt your joints like other sports like volleyball and basketball. It destroys your knees. That's what happened to me. I used to love basketball. I played basketball 3-4 days a week. But it just ate my knees up. And so now I have bad knees. I've had bad knees since I'm about 23, 23 years old now. I've just fought through it, trying to do what I can do and stay active. And so I'm in the Muay Thai and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and it's easy on the body.
Okay, yeah, sure. Nick, do you believe that if I were to hit you in the face with my kneecap, it would be easy on me or you?
Definitely not me.
Okay. He says no. I say no, too. Mike says yes. We agree to disagree on whether or not Muay Thai is hard on your body. But anyway, I love that sport. I've never learned it, never studied it, but I've always wanted to just because it interests me. How somebody could just fight with all seven of the limbs or something. Yeah, tie. But anyway, so that's that. Tell us about your family. So you have a family as well. Tell us about your family.
Yeah, I've got a 25-year-old daughter named Courtney. I've got a stepdaughter named Kylie. She's just now turned 16. I've got twin boys, Jacob and Jackson, that are 3 and a half. And we got Hayden, who I'm still hating here because he's like part of our family. He's with us all the time. And he's just turned 20. Yeah, he'll be 11 this year. So we've got a big family. My wife's name's Mandy. And she thinks I'm the greatest husband in the entire world.
Yeah.
She just thinks I'm the best thing. Tells me every day how grateful she is.
Yeah,
But I do have a wonderful family. God's blessed us. And
I know Mandy, and I wonder about that because of the Muay Thai statement about how Muay Thai is not hurt on your body, did she?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know she does love you. I know she does love you very much. And I just love his twin boys. I remember the twin boys holding them in the hospital after Mandy had the boys, coming up and praying in the hospital over those boys with you. And we just love them so much. I'm kind of like a grandpa to all the kids in the church. I feel like now I feel like they're all my grandkids now that I have a grandkid, and we just love the boys.
It's wonderful. Like, I can't even tell you. I can't even, words don't describe what the kids mean to me. It's just wonderful. It's just brought, it's helped our marriage. Mine and Amy's marriage has grown so much stronger since the boys were born. It's almost like God knew what we needed. So he gave us twins at 40 years old.
Twins at 40. How many people on the live feed right now, if you're listening out there, want to have twins after 40? Raise your hand. Say hello on there. So anyway, as we're thinking about this stuff, another thing that always interested me with Mike was just about how you love to deer hunt. I love to deer hunt. I saw Mike's room over his house, and he has a unusual amount of trophies deer. Just like they're everywhere in his house. You go into his house, and it's a little bit creepy, I'll be honest with you, because the deer are looking down at you from everywhere, and I'm a deer hunter. But anyway, he's got a bunch of them.
Love deer hunting. It's the greatest thing when you get out in the woods and get up in a tree. It's just absolutely, yeah. it's just so calm and quiet. That's when I have my time. I get to go. I love it.
Oh, yeah. I love it too, man. I love deer hunting. I love to get out there and just pray and seek God from that deer stand. I love to pray, talk to Jesus while I'm in that deer stand. I read my Bible while I'm up there, man. And sometimes I just quiet down everything while I'm up there. But not on Sunday morning, right?
That's right. So, and if you do one on Sunday morning, you got to make sure you get here before the sermon starts.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, before the sermon starts.
Don't do that. Yeah.
So anyway, the other really cool thing is he's clearly a better deer hunter than me. So I shot two deer last year. And I really needed a third to fill my freezer because I feed a lot of people along with myself. I try to feed everybody I can as long with myself. And I needed another deer this year. So he shot an extra. So he gave that to me in the middle, late one evening. He shot a deer with his bow and said, Mitch, you want this? And I said, yeah. I think it was just because he didn't want to skin it. But actually, we're going to say tonight it's because he was generous. Because this is a church show. So it wasn't because he didn't want to skip, right?
No, absolutely not.
No, he really is a good guy. He came and fixed my brakes the other day as well on my truck because he's a better mechanic and a better deer hunter than I am. But, that's not what we came to talk about. I just wanted y'all to get to know him. I wanted to ask you some things about how Jesus Christ has impacted your life. So I just wanted to start with this. What was your life like before you met Jesus Christ?
That's a hard one to put in a small amount of time, but it was just rough from the beginning on, really. And it got rougher as I got a little bit older. And just a lot of confusion about things. I was very unchurched, so I think that had a lot to do with my start out in life.
Now, what do you mean by unchurched? I think a lot of people hear that term, they don't know what it means. What do you mean by you grew up unchurched?
Well, from the time that I can remember being born until I was about 12 years old, the only time I ever went to church was a few times, and that was at Vacation Bible School. My sister would take me down here to Patrice Church. And it was a great time. I enjoyed going. I was nervous because it was a different atmosphere for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was in church. I didn't really know. I hadn't really been to church at all that I know of.
So you didn't know like a lot about the Bible or anything like that?
No, I didn't know anything. And to go to a church was very odd to me. And then my mom started taking me when I was around 12 years old. And it was just impactful. At 12 years old, it was impactful.
Yeah. So a lot of times in those formative years, it really gets us. I want to ask you a question a little bit more about that. You said something really interesting to me, that it was odd for you to go to church. And I'm thinking people that maybe have never been to church before, it being odd for them. Unpack that a little bit. What is it like to be odd to go to church? Because I was kind of raised up in church, even though I strayed away from God for a long time.
You know, it was like a strange place. Things were different. Things looked different. People talked different. Anytime you go to, usually a pretty good sized building, and there's a lot of people there, and you don't know anybody, and they put you in a classroom to sit you down with 10 or 12 other kids or youth or whatever, and you don't know any of them, and they start talking about things you know nothing about, God and Jesus and how to be saved and sin and all these things, and you're thinking, wow, where am I? You know, what is this stuff? It's actually, we started going, and then we went on Sunday morning, we went on Sunday night, we went on Wednesday night, and we very rarely ever missed. And God began to deal with me in such a way that I just knew there were some things going on in my life. And soon after that, I realized that if I died and took my last breath, that I would not spend eternity in a place called heaven, then I would spend it in hell. And it scared the living daylights out of me. I did not like that at all. And so I began to worry. And what I now know to be conviction, I was put under severe conviction that I need to do something about. It was probably, I don't know the time exactly, but just a short time after, a year maybe, give or take or whatever, I was at church on a Sunday night, and I was sitting there, and the Lord told me, said, you need to be saved. And I had a hold of the pew. I remember holding on to the pew. My knuckles was white, and I didn't let go of that pew.
Wow.
I kept hanging on to that pew, And I finally out loud said, okay. And I got up and went to the front of the church. And that was a little weird for me and awkward for me, because you're going in front of 80 people, 100 people, are sitting there. And they know you're going up there, because before you went up there, you were going to hell.
Before you went up there, you're going to hell.
I asked God to forgive me of my sins. I asked God to come into my heart. I told him how much I believed him, that he died on the cross for me, and that he rose again. And when I got up, I got up with tears in my eyes, and I was different from that day forward.
Well, that is so awesome, man. I love the way you said that. Because it's this moment in time, right? It's this moment in time when you come to faith in Christ. It's kind of like the moment in time when I got married. When I got married, I had been dating Debbie for a couple of years. But when I walked down the aisle, when I put the ring on my finger, I walked in there, a single man, even though I was engaged, I wasn't married. And then I walked out of there married. And that's kind of what you're saying when you say, before I did that, I was going to hell.
And I knew it.
You knew you were going to hell. Yeah.
And I think you have to get to a place where you realize that you realize that you have to have something that you can't do. It has to be something else that you cannot do. And that's, you cannot make yourself go to hell. And it has to be Jesus.
He's the only one that can bring us there, right? You can't make yourself go to heaven. You got to have Jesus Christ. I just find your testimony there amazing for several reasons. One of them really makes me think about the awkwardness of church and church speak and the building and the whole atmosphere that church can be like if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. And I think what we need to do is not try to make that harder for people, right? I think we need to make it easier for people when they do come to church, they don't know Jesus yet, that we don't try to do things that make it more awkward for them.
Sure. I agree. And little did I know that after that day, you think, this is what I thought. I thought when I accepted Jesus right then and there, I thought, man, I have just won. It's over. I can hang my coat up, hang my hat, get my feet up.
Yeah.
And that was actually when my real battle began.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that was when my battle began. It was a good battle.
Okay.
It was a great battle, because it was a battle I knew I had already won, but I still had to fight the battle.
So a battle like what kind of stuff?
Well, just life. Everything mm-hmm. that life's going to, because whenever you step out and you say, and you put your hand out and Jesus takes your hand and he says, okay, you're mine. From that day forward, the devil despises you even more so than what he did before. And he's going to try his best to keep you from helping anybody else. He's going to try to hold you back as much as he possibly can and get his claws in you as much as he can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when your battle begins.
He doesn't give up, does he?
He does not give up.
He doesn't give up, but he's already defeated. Sounds like the Miami Dolphins. So I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. Like, I grew up in Florida, but you know, we're still fighting. We still defeat. Anyway, the thing that I was thinking about with all of this is that your life is so different now that you know Christ. And I know that because I have met a lot of people in the community that knew Mike before he met Christ.
That was not him.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
You were worse than a knothead, but I was a knothead too. I was pretty bad as well before I came to faith in Christ. And Jesus Christ changed our lives. He's made an impact in our lives, made an impact in the family, and you've made an impact in the community and in the lives of other people around you. And I just think we need to spread that word, man, about how Jesus Christ can impact our life. And that's what we do here. That's what we're about. That's what we're going to talk about. One of the ways we do that is by looking at the subject of prayer and how Jesus Christ impacts our lives through prayer. So how has Jesus impacted your life through prayer?
Well, I've actually been healed physically. One time, and it was an actual miracle. I think I told you this, but I think I told you, and I never told anybody else. But I don't know that I haven't told anybody else, but I don't think I have. But I was actually.
And now you're going to tell everybody
I'm
watching.
Tell everybody on here once.
Okay.
So I was absolutely 100% physically healed in an instant. I was working in construction and doing a lot of hard labor work. I was outside working. And one of my knees had gotten so bad that I couldn't bend it. Literally couldn't bend it. Couldn't get myself in the pickup truck to get home. So with help, with assistance, I got in there and drove with the pedal with my left leg, because it was my right leg, so I had to reach across. My leg was locked down, I couldn't bend it. I got home and my dad called me. He called me every single evening between 5 and 8. He would call me. And how you doing? I said, well, my knee is shot. I'm going to have to go to the hospital in the morning because I can't bend it. It's the size of a basketball, and it's really, really bad this time.
So it was the size of a basketball. Your knee was just blown up.
It was huge. It was out of proportion. There was so much fluid on it where it was just bad. It was really bad. And so I was just sitting there in extreme pain, figuring out how I was going to get up there. How am I going to work? That was a big worry of mine. How am I going to work? I worked with my hands and my body. I had to get around. So my dad was relentless on prayer. He was just relentless on prayer. This is my dad after I'm older. My younger dad was not.
No, that was after he got saved later.
He had an interaction with God like I've never seen before. He was just a changed man.
Christ impacted him as well.
It was absolutely.
It's interesting that you mentioned dads, and then I want to hear about me, and I want to hear about how God healed you. But it's interesting because our stories are pretty similar. We have similar interests and everything in life. And we both went through a pretty rough time in life. And my dad's prayer life just completely saved. And my dad praying for me made the greatest impact in my life. And I know your dad's prayer life made an impact in your life. You're telling us about that right now. Mm-hmm. And I know that... the only reason I want to say that is so that people watching understand the power of a father's prayer of the life of their son and their children in general. That's powerful stuff, man.
Yeah.
So tell us how God healed you.
Yeah, and my dad, he was relentless on this stuff. Like, he would do it, and he would do it to the point that I would say, Dad, it's okay, don't go. So he said, I'm going to call Roger McGuffin. Roger McGuffin's a preacher. A lot of people around here know Roger. Good guy. And he was my dad's pastor at the church. I'm going to call Roger, and I'm going to have him pray for him. And I said, Dad, don't bother Roger. Don't bother him. And that was my lack of faith. I felt like I was going to the hospital one morning and didn't need anybody to pray for me.
Right. Yeah. Doctor, take care of him, right?
Yeah. But My dad said, I'm going to have him call. So he hangs up. Just a few minutes later, Roger McGuffin calls me. And Roger prays with me over the phone. And I talked to him for a little bit. He prayed with me and got off the phone. And I got back on the phone with my dad for like 5 minutes or so. And without thinking, I stood up.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even think. I was in my recliner, had my leg up.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think about anything. And I stood up. And when I stood up, I said, wait a minute, I can stand. Then they said, I can bend my leg. I had pants on. I took my pants down. Look, my swelling was gone.
Gone.
My leg was completely
gone.
As God be my witness. Was, I mean, there was no anything. I started jumping up and down and crying like a baby. I knew God had to do that. There was no other explanation. So I began to jump up and down. And I began to
So now I know two things that will make Mike jump up and down and cry like a baby. Number one is when God touches your life and heals you. Number two is a snake. This man hates snakes.
You're right. I don't know if I'll cry, but I'll scream like a girl. But I want to say this too. You know, prayer is impactful, and I believe in prayer. I've seen so many times that I couldn't come to an understanding, I couldn't come to a decision, and I would pray, and God just speaks to you in your soul, in your heart, let you know what you need to do. He's done it so many times.
That's right, man. Gives you direction.
Absolutely.
Gives you help, physical healing, spiritual healing, all of that kind of thing. You know, when a person gets saved, that's forever. When a person gets healed, it's temporary. Because let's say I have been miraculously healed myself. God healed me miraculously, and God healed my wife, Debbie, miraculously, spared both of our lives. Doctors couldn't explain it. God healed us. But you know what else is going to happen?
We're going to die.
We're going to die. You're going to die, I'm going to die. Our knees are going to go bad later on. Because, and even when Jesus healed people in the Bible, it was temporary, right? Because he healed them. They die later on. But God does heal them.
Yeah.
And he's healing people still today. I'm finding that God does that. I don't believe in divine healers, Mike. I don't personally. I just don't believe in that. But I believe in the divine healer. His name is Jesus Christ. And he does still heal today. In fact, I have some exciting news. About who you visited today. Tell us who you visited today.
Yeah, I visited Sherry Martin with Tim. Me and Tim went up and visited with Sherry.
Sherry Martin. He was up visiting with her today. Wow. And let me tell you a story. A couple of weeks ago, I just want to give his testimony, answer prayer, and then you get your prayer request ready if you're watching online, because we will pray for you before the end of this broadcast here. We will pray with you online, live right now for your needs in your life. We're going to pray for some other things right here before we leave you. But Sherry had a massive brain bleed. And that was about 2 weeks ago. What? Somewhere around there. Yeah, just about 2 weeks. And Sherry was in a coma all of that time and had not opened her eyes. Sunday, this last Sunday, just a few days ago, our church prayed together specifically, and we asked God, open Sherry's eyes. And I got a text from her son, Tim, that afternoon that said, and we prayed, in fact, we prayed for Sherry on here those 2 weeks ago, and Sherry opened her eyes that afternoon. And then the next day, Monday, I got a text from Tim. Tim tells me that she was breathing on her own, opening her eyes. And today, we got more news as a result of prayer, as a result of people praying. It's God's healing in her life. They originally said the surgery she was undergoing was 97% mortality rate. Yet here she is. Tell us what she's doing today.
Well, we went up early this morning, and we got up there. And when we walked in, it was a little bit scary, honestly, because there's two nurses in there, and the nurses were talking to Tim. And they said, well, they had a weird look on their face, and they said, well, she's tricking us, or she's playing games with us, or something like that. And they had a bad look on their face, and Tim was just, I could just see Tim, he was drained. He was like, oh. He said, well, is it bad or good? I said, well, it's just a little bit different. You don't want to get your hopes up. Yeah. And so they said that she actually answered a few commands with her thumb.
Yeah, responding. Thumb. Hasn't responded, been in a coma. She's starting to respond.
Yeah.
And she wrote Tim saying.
They got better.
Yeah.
As we were there, I was there a couple hours, and she kept opening up her eyes. And I was staying back because that's her, that's his mom, and that's her boy. Mm-hmm. And I was giving mm-hmm. them their time. And I kept watching her open up her eyes and close them, open them and close them. And then Tim went over and he grabbed her hand. And he said, she's squeezing my hand. And I said, well, I'm trying to get her to, you know, ask her to do something or yeah. whatever. He kept saying, Mama, you know, are you there? Can you hear me, Mama? I love you and everything. She began to rub his hand.
Oh, man.
It was amazing. And Tim, of course, you know, Tim's a big, strong guy and everything, but he would fight back tears because it was really impactful for Tim. And Tim started thanking God. Started thanking God right then and there. And it was just, she was caressing his hand, you know, it was wonderful.
Man, very man.
And she began to raise, she raised her arm up one time. She's moving her feet and legs. Yeah, she was moving her feet and legs. And so me and Tim prayed and just thank God for the little bit of things that are happening to us.
So one of the things that I've noticed about prayer is that oftentimes it kind of comes in stages like that. And we pray for the next stage, next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. And so now we're praying that she will continue to respond to commands. That's our next prayer. So we're going to pray tonight that she continues to respond to commands.
You know, Sherry's one of those ladies. Sherry's one of those ladies that they're always more concerned about other people. You know, she's approached me so many times and checked on me. And, you know, she's just one of those ladies. She's like my mother. My mother's the same way. My mom can have all these problems going on, things going on. She puts everything in hers to the side, and she focuses on everybody else's problems, and she tries to help me.
Yeah, that's godly true. People.
Man. Yeah, that's true.
I love to be around godly people like that, but just think about others first. Yeah. Well, here's the time for us to pray for you. Do you have any prayer requests that we can pray for you about? If you do, just type them in online here under the live feed before we pray. Let us know. Nick, do we have any prayer requests coming in there?
Nothing yet.
No? Okay, well, if you have any prayer requests, please let us know. We're going to pray tonight for Sherry. We're going to pray she continues to respond, right? And what else are we going to pray for tonight? What else are we praying for?
I think we need to continue to pray for our youth group.
Mm-hmm.
Our youth is doing really good, and a lot of good things happening with a lot of young ladies and boys. Just like
we just had a whole bunch of them come to Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be baptizing several people soon. The other thing, we have a mission trip coming up. We're going to pray over that. We're going to do a mission trip up in Indiana, and we need to pray that God prospers our way there, shows us the people we need to run into. So we're going to pray for those few things, and we're going to pray for our church, family, and just that God continues to answer these prayers. Yeah.
Can I give my last philosophy?
Yeah.
Because I get this time, I at least get to have just a little bit of my own philosophy go out to all the men out there.
It's probably going to be something about how when you fall out of a tree stand, it doesn't hurt. Or when you,
no, don't fall out of a tree stand where it's like
you get kicked in the face, it doesn't hurt, or something like that.
No, I want to. Yeah. It doesn't hurt the time. But I want to tell all the men out there just a little bit of what I learned in 43. Me and Tim was talking about this today. And there's certain things in life that will really, really help you. This is my one advice I'm going to give you. Take it or leave it. But if you're looking for true peace and happiness, actually real happiness, there's one key thing. Now, of course, you have to have an interaction with Christ. He has to change your soul. your heart, your mind. But after that, or even if you're before that, there's one thing you got to do that'll bring you true joy, and it'll build your faith up, and that's reading your Bible. And I'm telling you this because there's times where I go without reading my Bible, and I begin to get miserable. And it just happens that way. When I pick my Bible back up and I get into God's Word, it my faith instantly, within minutes and days and hours, begins to build back strong, and I come back stronger than I was before I stopped reading my Bible.
If you're out there watching, you don't have a Bible, you respond to this right underneath there. We'll send you one.
Read your Bible. Get in the Scripture. Even if you don't know anything about it, God will speak to you through that Bible, and your faith will grow, and you'll find a peace and a happiness that you won't find if you stop reading that thing. You're going to get miserable really quick from experience. That's Mike's philosophy. That's that one thing I didn't get. Philosophy. Yep.
I got bad news for you, Mike.
What's that?
That doesn't have anything to do with you. That comes from the Bible.
It's true.
That's not my philosophy. That's what it already says.
One thing that's helped me so
God already told us to do that. I'm just messing with you, man. But God told us to do that. That's where you got that. You got that from God. Who says read the Bible?
God.
And Mike.
And Mike said if you don't read it, you're going to get miserable really quickly.
That's right. Because he knows more time. And he's going to come and kick you in the face. You don't read your Bible.
Bad knees and all.
So, yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to close the prayer here. Do we have any prayer requests? Any other prayer requests? Nope. Okay. Well, let's pray then together, Mike. And I'm going to ask you to pray for Sherry tonight, and then I'm going to pray for our church tonight. Wrap things up.
Dear Heavenly Father, our Lord, Father, we just bow before you, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for the visit that I had with Tim and with Sherry. And I got to see firsthand, Lord, what you're doing in her life, Father. And I just want to thank you right now. Thank you today. Thank you again, Lord, because I just see a miracle, Lord, happening with Sherry. And I just want to thank you for that, Lord. I pray right now for Tim and for the family, Lord. I pray that Lord, you put your hand upon them as well and give them strength, Lord. Give them rest because I know they're tired. Anytime you spend hours and hours at the hospital, Lord, it just drains you. And I pray you give them strength, Lord. Help them to work it all out, Lord. And I pray for Terry as well, Lord. You always be with her and give her that same strength, Lord. And her and Kim work it out. And that they'll be stronger as well through all of this, Lord. Father, we pray for a miracle. And sharing, Lord, we pray, Lord, I don't want to pray above and past you, Lord, but I pray that she will stand on her own two feet, Lord, one day real soon. I pray she's able to put her arms around Tim, Lord, and just give him a big hug and squeeze his face, Lord. I know Tim's praying for that. I just pray for that, Lord. And we know that when it happens, we're going to give you the Lord, Lord, because the doctor's going to say, no, it's probably not. But whenever you say it will, Lord, it will. And I'm just asking you to do that, Lord. I pray for your will to be done in that whole family's life, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Father, I just want to also join my heart with Mike's and anyone listening and just praying for Sherry that you would heal her, that you would help her to just take that next step of responding to what they're telling her to do. And I pray, Father, that you would just bless our church, bless our youth group, help many more of our teenagers come to Christ. I think about they'll be meeting tonight. They'll be studying your word together tonight, our teenagers, Lord. And I just pray you raise up a great revival from that generation of teenagers. And I pray you'd help us to lead them well. And I pray, Father, also for a mission trip coming up. We'll be heading out to Indiana. I ask you, dear Lord, to be with us on that trip. Open up doors that no one can shut. And I pray, dear God, that we would see many people come to faith in Christ. And I just pray, dear God, that as we baptize the last day of that trip in Lake Michigan, I pray for 15 souls to come to Christ, that we would be able to baptize in the Lake Michigan on that day. Dear God, be with us tonight. Guide us in all that we're doing, I pray. Be with Mike. Bless him, Father. Bless his family, his children, his wife, and his future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.